He always is. The guys were really excited about you, Johnny, because you insert jokes. Now, don't feel pressured to bring jokes in, but if you want to, yeah, you can. You got my permission. Craig's out of town. Anything goes. I'm kidding. Don't do that. He'll be sitting me down for some time if I do that. So y'all give it up one more time for Johnny.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Craig for the opportunity. You know, not every pastor will let a crazy person into the church. I mean, that don't happen everywhere. Brian, you know, could tell you. Brian said that he wasn't coming tonight, but he heard I was going to be here, so he waited up 3 days with expectation just to see me. But I want to thank Craig and his wife and church for giving me the opportunity to come. You know, Craig's my buddy. He's been my buddy for about 8 years. You know, he took me through his discipleship program, which most of y'all has been through. You know, y'all went through it in like 3 months. Took me a year and a half. You know, I'm a little slower. I watch 60 minutes sometimes for 2 hours. So it takes me a little bit, Brian. But I get there. But I want to thank Craig and the church for the opportunity. I know him and Ramon's going to have a good time in Puerto Rico. You know, Ramon called me a few months ago wanting to see if I was going to go. I told him I couldn't make it this time. And he said, "Well, you going to leave me with Craig by yourself?" And I said, "I'm going to have to." Him and Craig must talk because he took Chad with him. So Ramon got his wish. He didn't have to be with him by himself. But let me ask you, do you know Jesus? I'd say everybody in here knows him. Knows him good. But can I tell you tonight that he loves you with everything he has. Every fiber of his being, he loves you. And he wants to be about your business. When you're awake, he wants to be there. Can I tell you tonight that I believe, I'm a little crazy, so stick with me. I believe when we sleep, John, that Jesus sets and waits for the expectation for us to wake up the next morning. I believe he loves us that much that he sits by our bed like this, if you don't mind. "I can't wait for Johnny to wake up. I got so many things I want to talk to Johnny about in the morning. I got so many things I want him to do in the morning." I believe he does that. I believe he sits with the expectation, waiting for us to get up, to spend time with us. Who do you know that wants to spend that much time with you? I heard my wife laugh. Did y'all hear that? I heard her laugh. Not her, huh? But who do you know that wants to spend that much time with you? Only Jesus, church, loves us enough that he wants to spend that much time with us. Brian, he knows every problem that we have. Does anybody in here have problems? I believe we can all raise our hand on that one. I can raise 2 hands and a foot, you know. I need to get everything up in the air. Because, John, I got a lot of problems. But I serve a Father that's willing to walk with me through them. He said he had a plan for me. And can I tell you tonight, he has a plan for your life. You may say, "Well, I know that. I've heard that." And you may say, "I've done this and I've done that." But can I tell you that he's got a plan for you that you don't know nothing about yet? Maybe you've done some great things. Me and John, we've danced in the Dominican Republic, right? Y'all need to watch the video of me and John getting down. It took a couple days, then we got Chad dancing with us. It took a few days, but we got him dancing with us, didn't we? But he's got an assignment for you that you don't know yet. You may say, "I've done this for the Lord. I've preached, I've teached, I've sung, I've been on missionary trips." But he has an assignment for his people that he's not revealed yet. And for each one of us, it's a different assignment. It's a different assignment for each one of us. But he's got things in store for his people that he's not talked about yet. He's got doors that he's not opened for his people yet. He wants to accelerate his plan for you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah 1:5. I know you've read this. I know you know it. You know, they was a time when I couldn't read or write. I was 35 years old. Got saved. Couldn't read, couldn't write. I couldn't spell my middle name unless I looked at my license. That's pretty bad. I didn't really like my middle name, so I didn't care if I learned how to spell it or not. If my middle initial is D, it means don't ask. It's Douglas. But I was 35 years old. Couldn't read, couldn't write. Couldn't talk plain. Never went to school. I had the principal. The principal would have the janitor take me home 2 or 3 days a week. Half the time, Chad, I'd never make it till lunchtime. Half the time, I'd never make it till lunchtime before they would take me home. So I never got to learn how to read. I never got to learn how to write. 35 years old, and the Lord came to me. 14 years ago this month, 14 years ago this month, I bowed my head to the Lord and said, "What do you want? What do you want me to do?" I had tried everything else. $1,000 a week drug habit, robbing and stealing, crime, jail, prison. I had tried every sin that this world had to offer. Nothing was doing it. So 14 years ago, this month, John, I bowed my head to Jesus and I said, "What do you got?" He said, "I want you." And can I tell you tonight, He wants you. You may say, "Well, I've been saved for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But I come tonight to tell you, He wants to accelerate something in your life. I heard the Lord tell me today that some of His people have been close to quitting. Some of His people have been close to giving up. Stopping. Setting down the microphone. Quit coming in the church door. He said a lot of His people have been on the verge of quitting. And they have been a lot quit. Sean, a lot has quit. But He said, "I need to accelerate my true believers." In the Bible it says, "Now is the time for the true worshipers to worship," right? Now is the time. So if that was rolled about less than 2,000 years ago, I think that was rolled about maybe 70, 80 years after Jesus' crucifixion. So if that meant that now, how much more does it mean it? If it meant that, how much more does it mean it now? It's time for the true worshipers to stand up and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." 14 years this month, Tracy, I've been serving Jesus. When I come to Him, I said, "Lord, what do you want with me? What can I do? I can't read. I can't write. I can't talk plain." I was always pretty, though. I had that one. Y'all got to agree with me there, right? I had that. You know, that's the only thing I had to offer was being pretty. But Jesus said that wasn't the qualification He was looking for. Can I tell you tonight, on the way over here, I was really nervous. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. I get real nervous when I go to preach. Even at my own church, I get nervous. And on the way over here, I said, "Lord, I'm about as scared as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs." And God says, "I'm glad I didn't make you with a tail then." So I'm okay, church. I'm okay. You want a few jokes, right? God made every one of us different, right? He made every one of us for such a time as this. Nothing takes Him off guard. Nothing takes Him by surprise. John, He'll never say, "Oh man, I didn't know that was going to happen to John. Or I didn't know that was going to this or that." Nothing takes Him off guard. He knows every single thing that's going to happen. He knew what He had for us. Let's read just a second. In Jeremiah 1:5. "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You know, right there where it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah saying," I think you should put your name right there. If you look in my Bible, I've got my name wrote right there. I wrote my name. I can spell it too without looking at my license now. But I wrote my name right there. Because before he formed you in your mother's womb, he had a purpose for you. Sometimes us, as we get in the motions as Christians, we think our purpose is to come to church, sit down, praise the Lord, get up, go home, and come back. We're getting this routine. But Jesus said, I'm not looking for a routine. I'm looking for a true worshiper. Amen. I'm looking for somebody that will come through them doors and say, Pastor Craig, what can I do for the church? Can I sing? Can I preach? Can I prophesy? Can I mow the grass? Can I clean the bathroom? What can I do? When me and my wife started our little thrift store at the flea market about 8 years ago, she cleaned the bathrooms and I helped her to pay the rent on the booth for us to have our little thrift store. And I can tell you, God has grew it into something amazing. There's been people coming in our store, talk, get saved, get healed, delivered. It has grown to a ministry that I never even thought of. But can I tell you, if you will unleash what you think God is going to do in your life and just say, God, do what you want, you'll be amazed at what he'll do. You'll be amazed. I don't care if you've been serving the Lord for 25, 30 years. For me, it's 14 years this month. Can't tell you what day of the month. I've been awake for about 14 or 15 days. Had a $1,000 a week drug habit. All I knew, it was May. Paul couldn't tell you when the last time I took a bath that month. But I knew it was the month of May. And I knew what year it was. Day, I probably could. I don't know. But if we will let go of what we think we're supposed to do for God, what we want to do for God, and let God accelerate what he wants us to do. You know, I looked up the word accelerate. It means to go faster. That's pretty easy right there, right? Go faster. So church, now is the time to accelerate what you're going to let God do in your life. But it's a process. It takes time. You may say, well, I've been going to church this long and I'm not seeing him do nothing. But have you opened the door and said, come in, and gave him the opportunity to have full control? Can I tell you, he's a jealous God that he won't share with nobody else. He wants to do something in your life. Something extraordinary. But for some reason, we want to tamper with what God is going to do. When God says, I'm going to call you to preach, we want to run out and proclaim the news to, I'm an evangelist, I am this, I am that. And God said, I didn't tell you none of that. I got to take you first. I got to train you first. I got to raise you up first. When a soldier is put in the army, they don't sign him up and throw him on the battlefield, do they? They take him through basic training. They teach him. They raise him up. They show him. They prepare him. So when I come to Jesus 14 years ago, I knew nothing. I opened the Bible to Genesis. I read, I know maybe two or three words shone on that first page. I turned the next page. I knew two or three words. I shut it, Brian. I said, God, how in the world? How am I going to be a Christian? I don't know what this says. I said, how am I going to serve you and be a Christian if I don't know what this says? And Jesus says, I'm going to teach you. I was kind of like Sarah. I laughed inside of myself. I went to school for a while. They didn't teach me. How are you going to teach me? I kind of laughed inside myself. I didn't know who I was dealing with. I didn't know this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I didn't know this was the Alpha and Omega, as they say. I didn't know this was the real thing. But he said, I'm going to teach you. So, you know, I got the Bible on tape. And I began to listen to it on the way back and forth to work. And I had this little Bible, John, I kept in my pocket at work. And when I'd get time, I'd pull it out and I'd try to read back what I had listened to. And I couldn't read the names of the books of the Bible. So I memorized them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. I memorized every name by listening to them tapes. And I would turn my Bible and say the books until I heard the one I heard that morning. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Sometimes, church, we want to do some great things for God. We want to go here. We want to do this. We want to do that. And God says, I need to teach you something first. I need you to be still, like he said a while ago. I need you to be quiet for a little bit. Then I will teach you something. But I spent 5 years. 5 years I spent listening to them little tapes. One day, Brian, I was on the way to work one morning, and I was in a little Acura, and tapes started skipping. I said, praise the Lord, it's speaking in tongues. I thought, man, Jesus is really talking to me now. On the way home, I listened to the same spot, and it done it again. I thought, I think the tape's skipping. I think the tape was skipping. So I learned the difference between skipping tapes and God speaking. Didn't take long for me to learn that one. But every day, I would try to learn, because I wanted to learn. I wanted to know this man who said I was more than enough. I wanted to know that man. The man that said he had an assignment for my life. But church, we wait and we wait and we wait and we say, God, what assignment? God, what assignment? But I heard the Lord say the other day, I'm accelerating my people's assignment. So tonight I come to tell you, he's accelerating your assignment. But now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to back down. Now is not time to say, I can't. I don't know how. I don't understand. All these excuses that we use, John, I've used them all. I've made up a few y'all don't even know about. But I heard the Lord say, now's not time for my people to quit. You see churches now, people getting their feelings hurt and they leave church. And they blame it on somebody in the church. They blame it on the pastor. They blame it on this. And they go around, they cast it all out to the neighborhood. When, if they would listen to the Lord, stayed in training, God was going to use them. But we pray that they come back. We pray that they come back. And Sean, when they come back, we greet them with open arms. And we say, I love you. I'm sorry you was hurt. I'm sorry you left. Let's get back to working together. Because God is building a remnant and a team that's going to go through these last days. We got so many people giving up and quitting. That 5 years that I was trying to learn how to read. I listened to it on the way to work. I'd get to work and I'd try to memorize. I'd memorize as much as I could. And I'd get to work and I'd try to find what I was reading. And I'd just try to read it by memorizing it. I wanted it. I was hungry for it. Me and Craig was in the Dominican Republic. We've been there a bunch of times together. I love to travel with Craig because he's teaching me. I like to pick his brain. Anytime we're together, I'm picking his brain, asking him questions. Because I love to learn. I came from no education. So when I get around somebody with knowledge, John, I like to absorb some of that knowledge. I want to look smart. So I can, like this. So when I go talk to somebody else, I say, ooh, that John is smart. They don't know I just got it from somebody else. But me and Craig was in the Dominican Republic one time. We was on the strip. I think Tracy was with us. And there's this little guy. He come up to us, and he was speaking Spanish. Ramon had walked away, so me and Tracy and Craig and a couple of us, we didn't know what he was saying. And we kept him no comprende, no understand. And he said, I'm hungry. Then we realized what he was saying. He wants some food. He didn't speak English, but he learned to say in English what he needed to get him what he wanted. He couldn't carry on the English conversation with you, but he could say, I'm hungry. He learned what he needed to, Brian, to get what he needed. So it's time for the Christians to learn what they need to learn to get to where they're going to go. It's time for us to not just read this word anymore. We've read it. And we've read it. Can I tell you that my Bible has 783,137 words? That's a lot of words. 1189 chapters, 66 books, and they believe to be 40 authors. 783,137 words in this Bible. That's a lot of words. Every one of them was wrote with an expectation for us. for us not just to read them, like we would read a fairy tale, Jack and Jill went up the hill, you know. It's meant for us to read it. And like he said, pause for a little bit in silence. Give God the opportunity to translate. If we don't read but one verse and we understand it, it's better than reading the whole chapter. But for so long, God's people has thought that they need just to read the whole Bible and say, oh, I've read the whole Bible. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I am something now. Come on, church. That's what people are doing. When he says, it's time for my true worshipers to stand up and worship, the true worshipers will read this and study it. Because you know there's a difference between reading, there's a difference between reading and studying. But it's time for us to dig it out, to search it out, to find out what it means, to understand, to know what we need to know. That little boy in the Mint Republic knew he needed to say, I'm hungry in English to get some money. And we gave him some money. But he learned to say what he needed to say. But it's time for the Christians to learn what this book really says, what it really means. A lot of times, Don, we'll quote a scripture. We'll say, the Bible says this and this. And it don't say nowhere near it. Because it's what grandma told us. It's what mama told us. It's time for the true people of God to read it for ourselves, to study it, to look it up. You may say, I've read the Bible through and through. That's good. Now let's start over. Forget everything we thought we knew. And say, Jesus walked through it with me. But he wants to accelerate some things. But there's so many people quit because they cannot handle the speed of the acceleration. They cannot handle the speed that God is wanting to push. I spent 5 years learning how to read and write, like I said. And once I had spent that 5 years in boot camp, Jesus boot camp. You ever been to Jesus boot camp? I spent 5 years doing that. And then God gave me my first assignment. He let me go out of the country for the first time. I had been preaching in my sister's little church over there for 5 years. I'd preached in a couple of my other family's church. And God said, now you're ready for assignment. But church, as long as we're just reading it, if we're just reading it, we're not going to get the assignment. It's more than just reading it. It's getting down to it. It's getting in the roots of it. It's that praying and asking God, what does this mean for me? Like I said, what it says right here. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, I put Johnny in my book right there. Because he came to you saying, and he says your name. He says, he ordained you, sanctified thee. And here it says, a prophet for him. But what did he call you to do? Each one of us has a purpose and a work to do for the kingdom. We are supposed to be blowing up the kingdom. Blowing up the kingdom. Every day, somebody is dying and going to hell. Sad fact. It's the truth, John. Somebody is dying right now during this service and going to make hell their home. Hell is enlarging itself. But it's time for the true worshipers to stand up and worship and praise and preach and teach like Jesus did. Because we need to blow up the kingdom. We need to enlarge the kingdom. If we don't do it, who will? Jesus started something with 12 men. Lost one, kept 11, right? And now there's over 2 billion Christians on the earth. But how many of them 2 billion are true Christian? The number drops way down. How many of them 2 billion Brian are reading and studying the Bible? The number drops way on down. How many of them 2 billion are true worshipers who want to do something for the Lord? The number drops way down. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, right? The number is so low that we need some kingdom people that can blow up the kingdom, that can enlarge the kingdom. I spoke at a church last Friday think it's last Friday, of some people in recovery. I know all about recovery. I've been there, done that. And God told me something to tell them. I was on my way there. And God said, what was your part two testimony? We all have a testimony. Brian's testimony might not be like mine. Brian might have went to school, listened to mama, graduated, said three bad words, got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Is that about right, Brian? Ain't got a job at Shaw. But what was the part two testimony? Does anybody like a sequel? You ever watch something and you wait with the expectation for part two to come out? Can I tell you, you need a part two to your testimony? Your testimony is what you've done before Christ, right? What you've done in the past in sin. But as I was telling that church, and I told my church, as Christians need a part two testimony. I can tell you all day long, I come from a $1,000 a week drug habit, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't talk, but I can tell you all this testimony. But what happens after that? What are we doing after the testimony? We should be building a testimony of what we've done for Jesus. We should be building a testimony of what we've done after we got saved. But so many people get saved and they come into the church and they sit and they clap. And every now and then you get a little hallelujah out of them. And sometimes you might get a step out of them. But that's about as far as it's going sometimes. But it's time for God's people to get two or three steps. To worship, to praise, to glorify Him. To be willing to get into His presence. And bow down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need a part two, Sean, of our testimony. What have we done after we got saved? I've been saved 14 years this month. I'd love to know what day it was, but it wasn't in my right head, right mind. At least I know the month. You got to give me that, right? But what have I done after I got saved? I got a great testimony of after I got saved. Been to 7 or 8 countries, preached in a bunch of different places, came to Relationship Church, hallelujah. I mean, that's a compliment in itself right there, right? But we got to build a testimony of what we done after. People says, oh, what's your testimony? He says, well, I went to school. Mama got on to me. I said 3 bad words. Mama beat me. I never said another thing. Right? Maybe I'm close. I'm in my prophesying. But what did Brian do after? If Brian don't mind me using him for example. What did Brian do after he came to Jesus? We got to have a part two. There used to be a TV show, come on, called Manifest. Maybe some of y'all watched it, about these people who disappeared in an airplane, come back 8 years later. Man, it was so, I wanted to watch it so bad. It went out like, oh, when's it coming back on? I was waiting for the sequel. I wanted part two. Can I tell you, Jesus is waiting on your part two? He's waiting on your part two? He's waiting on the part two of your story. What you're going to do after you get saved. It's good to come in church, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but sometimes we got to start that part too. You know, the first day you come in church, Brian, God didn't say, well, I'm going to put Brian preaching today. He said, I'm going to give Brian a little bit of time to start his part two testimony. But we got to have that part two. Without that part two, what can we do for anybody else? Without that part two, church, how can we help anybody? We can help people. I can go to drug addicts and talk to them about how I got clean and how I quit drugs. I can do that. But if I don't know nothing about Jesus, how can I teach them about Jesus? You got to build a part two. That part two takes time. It takes time of doing it the right way. Not just coming to church and listening to the preacher. Sometimes people will listen to the preacher read. And that's the only time they hear the Bible for the rest of the week. Sad fact. It's the truth. I'm guilty. I've been there before. In my early Christian walk, I didn't know supposed to be reading the Bible. Didn't know how to read. But a lot of people, they hear the preachers read. And they may not hear the Bible till the next Sunday or till the next service. But we've got to dig it out for ourselves. We've got to be like bulldozers. My son-in-law over drives a big old bulldozer with a big old thing on it like this. Right? And that's what we got to do with this Bible. We got to dig it out. We got to search it out. Your story is here. Your part two is here. Part one was a wild ride, right? Part one was a crazy ride. Not for Brian, because Brian only said three cuss words and then he got saved. Hallelujah. But part one was fun. It was wild. It was crazy. The Bible says we are overcomers by the power of our testimony, right? We overcome that. We overcome the bad stuff. But then what? What did we do after we overcome? Church, we got to be building a testimony of what we done after we come to Jesus. After we got saved. But there's so many people nowadays just giving up, quitting, giving in, throwing in the towel. Because they say, it's too hard. It's too rough. They hurt my feelings. Brian hurt my feelings. I'm just going to give up on Jesus because of Brian hurt my feelings. And Jesus standing there thinking, listen, you say that one more time, John. I said, I'm giving up because Brian hurt my feelings, Jesus. And Jesus said, say it again, John. I said, Jesus, I'm giving up because Brian hurt my feelings. And Jesus says, what's my name in that? How did I hurt your feelings? You giving up on me because Brian hurt your feelings. Brian's my buddy. He let me use him for example. He's never done nothing wrong in his life. He's holier than thou. One day if y'all get holy up, Brian, you're good.
She's
Forgive us, Jesus. But we have to have that part too. We can't give up. We can't give up because somebody hurts our feelings. But that's what's going on. That's the new movement. That's the new movement. Well, I'm going to quit because John looked at me three times in church. He thought I wasn't clapping. The devil would make you think all this kind of stuff. Oh, they was talking about me. I seen them two over in the corner talking about me at church. They might have been. They might have been talking about how much they liked you. They might have been talking about they was going to take you out to eat. You missed your opportunity if you could listen to the devil. You could have had tacos, but now you're going home to eat ham sandwiches. Because you didn't wait upon the Lord. But so many people are giving up, quitting. Every church, this church, my church, every church can tell you stories of people in the church that gave up and quit because they got mad. Because they got their feelings hurt. If Jesus would have gave up because they got his feelings hurt, he'd never made it past turning the water to wine, would he? Wasn't that his first miracle? His mama told him, hey, they ain't got nothing to drink. Jesus says, what you want me to do, woman? More or less, right? It ain't my time. Why are you pushing me for? And he, you know, he didn't done what mama said because Brian going to listen to mama right here. Jesus went and done what mama told him. But what if he would have got mad at mama? Okay, mama, I'm going to do it. Turned the water into wine and then left Brian. What if Jesus could have got his feelings hurt. Mama could have hurt his feelings. He could have said, okay, I'm going to turn the water to wine. Put a little vinegar in it, just be spiteful. And then went on his way. He didn't do that, did he? He went on to the next miracle. And to the next miracle. But us, we want to quit at the drop of a hat. We want to quit because somebody hurts our feelings. We want to quit because we don't agree with somebody. You know why we want to quit? Because the devil don't want you to write that part two. He don't want you to write that part two. I've been writing the book for about 5 years, Sean. A little slow. You know, Craig's class took me a year and a half. Y'all done it in 3 months. Y'all see the difference there. But I've been writing a book. But I stopped on it because I ain't got enough for part two yet. I said, Jesus, man, this is starting out to be a good book. The name of it is From the Ghetto to Heaven. Been writing on for about 5 years. But I ain't got enough for part two to keep writing. So I'm going to wait until I build more of part two. And I can write part two any way I want to. I can do anything I want for the Lord. Go anywhere Brian I want to go for him. As long as I don't get mad. Don't get my feelings hurt. I don't quit and give up. So many people are quitting and giving up right now. But Jesus told us right here in the Old Testament. This was wrote to Jeremiah, but this is also wrote to us. I believe when you read the Bible, you read it, that your name is injected to every part of it. 783,137 words. That's a lot of words. I'm good with numbers. It's some letters that get me, Brian. You know, vowels, E-I-O-U, sometimes Y. I was writing today in my book for my church, and I wrote, let me turn a page here, the fight of the climb. And then I didn't know how to spell climb, so I started Googling. And I thought, how's climb got a B at the end of it? Don't make no sense to me. I should have spoken another language instead of English. But I thought, I'm going to put the B because Google says it's right. But church, if you give up now, maybe you're not going to give up. I hope and pray. But I guarantee you, we know somebody wants to give up. Well, I bet everybody in here knows somebody who has gave up, wants to give up, is trying to give up. And we need to be praying for them, John. Lord, don't let them give up. Don't let them get mad. Don't let them get hurt. Don't let them quit. Help them with that part two. Because if you don't write part two to your story, how are we going to make heaven our home? Is that not our goal? Is our goal not to make heaven our home? That's my goal. The Bible says, he's going to say, enter in or depart from me, right? You know, I've told my church many times that when I stand before Jesus, I want to stand like this right here, kind of like a racer. My knee, because he says, enter in, I'm gone. So I'm gone. Everything else is going to be rah, 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 like Charlie Brown, you know. I ain't going to hear nothing else. I ain't taking no chances. When I say enter, boom, I'm gone. I'm going to be the fastest runner you ever seen because I've worked so hard for what's inside there. Church, your work has not been in vain. The nights that you cried out to the Lord, the times your feelings have been hurt, the times that you sung and somebody didn't like it, the times that you prophesied and they didn't receive it, the times that they cast your name out as evil, you went through it all for what's inside of heaven. Can you imagine, church, what's inside there? So I believe we're going to fish. I believe every fish is going to be the same size. Nobody's going to get to say, I caught a bigger fish than John. I think you're going to catch a fish every time you throw the reel out there, and I think all the fish are going to be the same size. That way John can't come back and say, well, I caught one of my fish. You know the fish stories. But what our goal is what's inside of heaven, right? Can't never see in there. You ever been coming around a curve and you can't see what's on the other side, but you kind of excited about what's around the curve? What's over there? If you ever go to Daytona Beach, you come up over that hill and you know the ocean's getting close, but you can't see it. And all of a sudden, boom, you see the ocean. That's what heaven is. We're in a curve, church. The Christians have been going for so long, since Jesus, for about 2,000 years, 1985 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. We've been going and going. Can I tell you, the end is near, but we're in a curve. We can't see what's around the curve. And the devil is going to be in that curve throwing stuff at us, trying to stop us, putting nails out of flattened tires, putting up stop signs, detour. Can I tell you, the devil is good at detour. He can stand there and look like a construction worker with a hat on and a sign. I'm not the devil. This is just a normal detail. Detour, go that way, go that way. And we fall for it. Sean, we fall for it. We say, oh, that wasn't the devil. That was just a nice construction worker telling me to go this way. But God says he got a path, he got a plan for every one of his people. But we have to walk out that plan. But I believe we're in a curve right now. We can't see what's around the curve. But I'm waiting with the expectation to round the bend and see my Father. I'm going to say, hey, Daddy, it's me. And I'm going to run to him. You know, the Bible says that people will run for the hills, right? I pray that I run to my Father. Fall down at his feet, Brian, and say, thank you. Thank you that you loved me when I was unlovable. Thank you that you loved me when I had that $1,000 a week habit. Thank you that you loved me when I was sitting in prison. Thank you that you loved me when I couldn't read or write. Thank you that you was willing to pick me up, dust me off, teach me, use me, and help me. Thank you, Father. I think I'm going to spend like 6 or 7 days just down at his feet. John before, I can never get up. And I'll probably get up and just fall back down again. I just want to say it in my Father's presence. On this earth, I never had a father. Don't know who he was until, I guess about 6 months ago, Sean, I found him. He's still alive. So maybe, God's will, I get to meet him. I've seen a picture of him. He's not quite as pretty as me, but, you know, he is older, so I guess he's done his best. But I never had a father. And when I was learning how to read, I can't tell you the times that I'd come to a word I didn't know, and I'd try to sound it out. And for y'all, sounding out a word is probably pretty easy. For me, it's not that easy. Because I can't pronounce the words and the letters right. I can't pronounce the vowels right sometimes. So for me to sound out a word, shines a little bit harder. I have to work a little harder. But I'm willing to work for my Father. I'm willing to put in the extra work. But there's many times I'll be trying to sound out a word, and I just hear God tell me the word. The first time I was sitting there trying to read, I said, and the English language is wrong. It's too hard. I mean, it should be a lot simpler than it is for us crazies. But I heard the Lord say, manifest. I heard him tell me the word. I was blew away. I was like, wow, I'm hanging out with a cool dude right here. And he said, Johnny, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to manifest myself in your life. He said, I'm going to be the father that you never had. I was like, wow. The big guy that created everything wants to hang out with me? I thought, how cool is that? I was walking like this into work next day. Yeah. Yeah. That's how much he loves us, Brian. Whatever you need, he's going to make it happen. Now, I didn't say whatever you want because he knows I like to have 7 Cadillacs. You know, I'm not going to get 5 or 7 Cadillacs. He may give me 1, but he's not giving me 7. But he'll meet every need that you have. You might not get the 7 Cadillacs, but you might get 1. You know, I'd want one, a green one with these kind of wheels, a red one with that kind of wheels, you know. But he's going to meet his people's needs because he loves us. He's done so much in my life. I'm sure he's done so much in your life. But can you imagine the day that we step into heaven, we see him face to face? I'm telling you, I'm just going to hit the floor. You ever seen somebody famous? Oh, there they are. That's the way I'm going to be. I'm like, oh, man, just fall out. I'm going to wake up and see him again and fall back out. It's going to take about a week. The angel's going to be fanning me because I'm just going to keep falling out. He means that much to me, church. He's that important to me. He's that important to me. Why? He taught me to read. Taught me to write. Changed my life. Sean, I was a fighter growing up. I'd fight 5 or 6 people. I didn't care if I won or lose. I just wanted to fight. I just wanted to do something. Yeah. I had so much rage inside of me. But you know, when he came into my life, he calmed that storm. He calmed that rage. He took it all from me. The little rat that ran on the rubber band, he took the rat away and put in a little bit better brain. Broke the rubber band. But he's that good of a father. Whatever you need, he's going to supply it. Whatever you need, he's going to make a way. I said, Lord, I can't read, I can't write. How am I going to be Christian? I was going to be okay, Sean, just going to church and listening and saying, praise the Lord, preacher. That's a good word. Amen. I see it in the book. Yes. I was going to be fine with that. Because I wanted something different. I just wanted to change my life. I didn't know that he was going to take me around the world. I didn't know that he was going to teach me words that I can't even pronounce. I didn't know that he was going to do so much things in my life. Church, he has no respect of person, right? So anything he does for you, he'll do for me. Anything he does for me, he'll do for you. He's just looking for somebody that says, here I am. Have your way. Jesus says, you sure? Have your way. I got you then. He wants to get inside of you and tap everything out. Everything that you think you knew. Everything that meant so much to you. Everything that mom and dad and grandma taught you, he wants to rip it all out. Start anew. I used to lay block. John, we went to this house where somebody else had been working. It was an inch out of square. If you know anything about building, an inch out of square is real, that's a lot. So we had to tear everything back down and start over. We couldn't build on top of what they had done. God's not going to build on top of what you've done in this world. He's going to tear this world out of you. He's going to build on a solid foundation. Because what He is going to build, hell cannot overcome. Hell cannot do nothing with what He's going to build. He wants to build inside of us something special, something exciting. You may say, I've been going to church 30 years. I've read Jeremiah. I've been prophesied too. I've been this, I've been that. But can I tell you, now is the time, acceleration has come. If He tells me, Johnny, I'm going to take you lunch next week, I say, okay. If I'm standing outside the church tomorrow waiting on Him, that's my fault. Because they said next week, right? God's timing is not our timing. It takes time for God's Word to manifest itself. So if God says He's going to do it, church, He's going to do it. But you may say, well, I've been prophesied this for this long. God says, now is the time of acceleration. He's weeding out the ones that can't stand. Remember Gideon in the Bible? He had, what was it, 20,000, 30,000, something like that? He had to take it down to, what, 300? Was that 300 plus him, I guess? Could you imagine? He says, take it on down a little more. Take it on down a little bit more. I believe if I was Gideon, I said, wait a minute, Jesus. Hold on now. Hold on. I've got all these men and you don't want me to use them. Something ain't right here. But we got to believe. We got to wait with expectation. Church, He knows what He's doing. But He's weeding out the ones that's not really there. You see some dropping out and quitting and giving up. They didn't have, some of them didn't have what took to stand. Some of them had it, but the devil beat them down. So it's our job to pray, Lord, the ones that's meant to stand, send them back. Bring them back. Bring them back to the church. Use them one more time. Because church, in these last days, God is putting a remnant together of warriors. You know, our church is battlefield, praise and worship. We're on the battlefield for our soul. The inner man is worth a lot. That's why the devil is fighting so hard to try to get it. Because he don't want you to make heaven your home. That's why he fights every night. Can I tell you that the devil, he don't sleep. He spends all night long waiting outside your house thinking, Johnny gonna come out the house this morning, and I know he's not good with road rage, so when he gets on the interstate, I'm gonna have somebody cut him off. I'm gonna get him mad before he ever gets to work. I'm gonna mess his day up before he ever gets to work. So I can come out of my house, Jesus can say, don't go that way. Take 41. And the devil standing on the exit at 75, I'm going to get Johnny this morning. Johnny going down 41, beep, beep, going the other way. But church, don't get mad. Don't quit. Don't give up. Your opportunity is at hand. You've been waiting for a long time for a prophecy. It's been prophesied to you. You've been hurt by so many people. But you stayed in the fight. You're here tonight because you stayed in the fight. You're here every Sunday because you stayed in the fight. Because the fight is worth it. It's worth it, church. Because one day, when we round that corner, we see Jesus. We see heaven. I can look over at Sean and say, I race you. And I'm going to try not to trip him just so I can win. I'm going to try not to do that because Jesus might not let me in. I don't want to mess up right there at the end, you know. The church, He's a good, good Father. I tell my church all the time, He's a good, good Father taking care of a lot of little bad kids. We're some bad kids sometimes. But He gives us opportunity to come and to say, forgive me, Father. So let me encourage you tonight. If someone has said something about you, if someone has left the church, left your family, left your job, left your friendship, if somebody has left, don't hold it against them. It's not them. The Bible says we wrestle against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. It's not them. It's what was trying to operate inside of them. So let me encourage you, forgive them. Forgive them for what they said. Forgive them for what they done. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. We're in the curve. We're close dying to making heaven our home. We're close. We're so close, I can smell it. I can smell it. I was at work one day, Sean. Craig thinks I'm a little crazy. I told Craig a story one time. I think I've told John. I was at home one night and I said, Jesus, what do you smell like? I get that close to it. I just talk to him. You know, Jesus, you wear shoes? What kind of shoes? You got Nikes? I like Nike, Jesus. You still wearing them sandals? Or? I just ask God some crazy questions. I just hang out with him. So one night I said, Jesus, what do you smell like? He didn't tell me nothing. I'm just talking. Next day I'm at work and my job at work was, I had these big long rolls, about 100-foot roll with boxes on each side. My job was to just go down there putting tickets on them in order. And I was all the way back in this row and I smelled something. I said, man, it smelled good. I thought, what is that? I thought, oh, one of them ladies from up front has come and walked by. I thought, what's an awful long way to smell that? So nobody ever come to the back of the White House. So I go to the end of the row, like this. I look down the White House this way, and I look that way. It's a long White House. And there's no way somebody could walk by and get past me, and I'm not seeing them, because it's so far to walk. I thought, man. But I didn't smell it no more. So I walked all the way back to the end of the row, and I said, man, there it is again. I thought, man, that is beautiful. What in the world? And I heard Jesus said, that's me, son. That's me. He will give you your heart's desire. He will let you smell him. You think that's crazy, right? You should have seen the dance I was doing inside that row when he told me that. He wants to get that close to you, Sean. Johnny wants to get that close to you. Brian wants to get that close to you that you can smell him. I believe, church, that we should get so close to Jesus that we could smell a change in the atmosphere. When something is shifting, something is moving in God's presence, we should say, something's changing. Something's happening. Is that not one of your senses? Can you not touch? Can you not feel? Can you not hear? We can hear Jesus. I think we get close enough, we can smell him. I'm telling you, I can't even describe, John, what it smelled like. I don't know what to compare it to. But it was the most beautiful thing I've ever smelled in my life. But what I want to leave with you today is, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't let nobody hurt your feelings. You ain't got time for that. We're in this curve. We're getting close to making heaven our home. Brian's been good his whole life. He only said them three bad things. Mama whooped him. He started being good. He's not giving up now, right? Come too far, too fast, too long. The church, let me encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. Do something for the church. I'm sure everybody in here has something to do for the church. But ask Craig. Say, Craig, anything else I can do? Build up some points. It's good to have some points for Jesus, right? But do something for Jesus, church. Pray for people. Talk to somebody in public. Walk up to somebody. Say, hey, Jesus loves you. Open up a conversation. You may say, well, I'm not a talker. It's okay. Try and see what happens. You never know. You never know, church. But if I can leave something with you, I'm trying to close. I'm trying to land this airplane. Sometimes the plane is coming down, but the runway is real long. Love your enemy. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Sounds easy, don't it? Sounds easy until you have to do it. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Sounds easy. Until you try to offer them the other cheek, right? Forgive. Let things go. There's nothing in this life worth missing heaven for. So, I come to tell you this. Don't give up. Don't stop. You're close enough to Jesus where you can smell him now. You're close enough to heaven where you say, remember coming in the house? You say, Mama's got supper cooked. You can smell it walking in the door. You should be able to smell heaven. You're that close. You're that close, church. We're that close to going home. But in closing, if it's okay, if anybody needs me to pray for anything, I'd like to pray for you. Anybody got anything I need to pray about? Ask God about. I'd like to pray with you. If not, that's okay. We'll all pray together. One way or another, we're going to pray if it's okay. Church is look. God is looking for a people in the church that he can say, that's my people. That's my church. Like he said, not knocking. He's looking for a church that he's welcome in. That don't start until he says, I'm ready. I'm ready. But if you need to pray about anything, I want to pray for you. If not, I give it back to Sean. We can all pray. But church, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get your feelings hurt. Probably tomorrow, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Maybe by next Sunday, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. You can say, Lord, forgive them for they not know what they're doing. We got to be like Jesus, church. We got to be like Jesus. It's a long Christian walk to get like Jesus. But if we want to, we can do it. We can do it. We're his children. We make mistakes. But we can do it, Sean.
All right, so some of us have done a lot of church today. But let me tell you something. I believe, Johnny, wholeheartedly, with all my heart, you stay right there, Johnny, okay? That there's coming a time where you're going to wish for days like this when you had all the church you wanted. Now, let me ask you this question. This is what really struck me. 14 years. How long ago was that? You guys, anybody remember 2010? No? A little bit? That's 14 years ago. Okay, and this 14 years ago was a man with a drug habit, $1,000 a week, and was illiterate. Was that far ago? Does anybody remember the 2010 Haiti earthquake? Lived through that? Mike's nodding his head. Yeah, he remembers that. I remember that. How about, you remember the movie Deepwater Horizon? Y'all ever heard that movie? That's an actual event. The Deepwater Horizon oil spill, the largest oil spill in all of human history. Okay? Anybody remember the word swine flu in 2010? So that wasn't that far. Wasn't that far ago. Who remembers the year the iPad was born? 2010. 100,000 people lost their lives in Haiti to an earthquake. In 2010. And out of all that turmoil is birthed Johnny Carnes, who said, just okay, God, I'm gonna quit running from you. Couldn't read, couldn't write, $1,000 a week drug habit. Was that long ago? Now look at him. I'll say it, holy crap. I mean, is that irreverent? Sure it is. I don't care. I mean, it's stunning. I only know this Johnny. But he's the first evangelist I've heard in my humble little life that said, what does chapter 2 look like past the decision? You know, it's great for a story, but we're supposed to go to the cross, accept the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus and keep moving through it. The highlight of Johnny's story is not that he had $1,000 a week drug habit or that he's illiterate. Because there's a lot to part two. I've heard it. It's amazing. And he's still got more to write. And I've smelled Jesus before. I don't know what it was, but I smelled heaven. It'll sound crazy in 2024. In 5 years, it'll be in the norm in church to smell the very essence of God. I smelled sweet, sweet worship over here when this young lady was standing right here. That's going to be normal. That was worship that was costly. It cost her something. She didn't care what anybody else thought. She wanted to be close to God. She wanted to be in her world, worshiping God in spirit and truth. That is the people that God is looking for. Amen? Amen. So I say, Father God, thank you for part two. Thank you that you want to be so close to us that you give us your fragrance. I thank you, Lord, that you will give us the strength to run and not grow weary, to not be faint, to never grow weary in doing good works for you. Because right over the horizon is a world we have never seen before, but yet we have sensed since birth. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon each of you and be gracious and give you peace in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. We love you. Thank you, Battlefield Praise and Worship, for sharing their pastor tonight. Y'all give them a hand for coming out. Thank you for lending your choir to us tonight. It was awesome. Thank you so much. And y'all continue to pray for Battlefield Praise and Worship. I'm assuming Craig and Chad may come back this time from the mission field. They may want to stay. But we will see you next week, Sunday night, Lord willing, unless the Lord gathers us up first. Love you guys. Y'all have a great week.